Game Boys.
What's up, internet, and welcome to the Game Boys podcast. It's me, Lux, your host, and with me as always, turns out Tessa Thompson was just him the whole time. It's Griffin Davis.
Yeah, that's how I escaped Westworld.
Yeah, it's the only way out.
Man, that show was really bad.
It was fucking such a it was such garbage.
Just spending the rest of your like next 3 months at Wisecrack just writing about how bad it is?
No, I think that they like when it's good, so I think we've just sort of not talked about it at all.
Okay, you guys don't do takedowns. You just do like uplifting pieces about good stuff.
Well, we do what went wrongs, but it's something like Westworld. It's like.
People, it's too much.
It's like I can do what went wrong with like the Emoji Movie or the Big Bang Theory or something, but like Westworld's like a whole different kind of bad. But yeah, that
you gotta give it to Tessa Thompson though. That, you know, like even in the worst thing ever, she can come out looking pretty good. No, you know?
She's great.
Like,
she's incredible. She's been having. It's the year of Tessa Thompson. 2018. 28 Tessa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's also the year of the. Scalding weather here in Los Angeles. It is very hot. So I apologize to our audience. There's going to be air conditioning going on in the background today.
Yeah,
tonight.
Because it's 100 something degrees in Los Angeles.
It's a million degrees.
Yeah. And the reason you pay $9,000 per square foot is to keep it under 80.
But I got to tell you, Lux, the way I've been keeping cool is with a little game on the Nintendo Switch called Hollow Knight.
Oh, that's a good game. I played it not on the Switch.
Oh, you already played this game?
I have played this game. It's a very good game.
Oh, man. It is super cool. For those who haven't played, it's kind of like a Metroidvania, kind of like 2D platformer game with kind of some Dark Souls style mechanics, too. It's been super fun. And it's also just really has this really adorable animation to it. Lux, how far did you get in the game?
I don't know. I probably played about 10 hours, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's what's great about it, at least aesthetically, is it has that great combination of like really cute and really dark at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of got that Undertale balance that really hits that chord for me, you know.
Yeah, that really hits the spot. The game is super fun. Where are you at in the mix?
I am about 10 hours in as well. I'm still learning some basic stuff. I've gotten a few of the basic traversal mechanics that you get at the beginning of the game. And I got to say, games are just so good on the Switch, man.
Yeah, the Switch is the best. You know. This podcast is brought to you by Nintendo. go buy a Switch, play with us on.
But what are you been playing anything this week, Lux?
Oh, buddy, have I? Here's the thing. Here's what happened to me. Is I got the Octopath Traveler demo and it fucking rules.
Okay.
And I loved it and I was having a great time. And I was like, man, this is making me horny for role-playing games. But the thing is, I thought Octopath Traveler didn't come out for a year. So I bought this game called Earthlock. And I've been playing that a lot. But then Burf told me that actually Octopath Traveler comes out next week. So I'm going to go back to that soon. That game is amazing, though. Both those games are really good.
That was a really boring story.
Well, I'm playing two games and it's mostly because I'm an idiot.
Okay. So are you recommending this game?
I can't recommend Octopath Traveler because I only played the demo, but the demo is really good. But Earthlock, yeah, you should play it. It's really fun. And it's on the Switch and it's cheap.
Plenty of JRPGs to stay inside to all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, that's my whole thing is like, if I got a JRPG, you know I'm not going outside. And if I cannot go outside, oh, that's a good day.
I think it's time to bring on our guest for this episode.
Yeah, we can let him out of his cage because he's been doing just fine.
He's been doing just fine. And he's got to be down because he wants it all.
It started out with a bit.
Friend.
How did it end up like this? It was only a bit.
Haley, you can edit that part out.
Or you can keep it if you want.
Back to my introduction. We have a friend of mine. I put him in the friend category. It's a big step on the podcast. He's shaking his head. He's not into it. He's taking the headphones off. He's leaving. He is a sketch comedian. He's a member of my own sketch team. Wow. How did I book this guy? It's Bennington Grant.
Hey. Hey, guys. Also horny for RPGs over here.
Also horny for RPGs.
I'm getting all randy for RPGs after that awesome story.
Yeah. No, I know how to talk nasty to the RPG crowd. And it's all about getting a demo and then buying a game by mistake.
Well, you're safely at least 3 feet away from me, and Lux is on a computer screen in Austin, so I think this is fine. It's fine.
I can feel the heat.
Yeah, I'm alone in my room.
Before we get started, can I make a prediction?
Yes.
because I went on our friends, Jacob and Will, from another sketch team detention. I went on their podcast. I made a prediction it would be the most controversial episode they ever have. And sure enough, it was. It caused a lot of buzz on our community feed. My prediction for this will be your worst episode.
Oh, buddy. That is...
Wow.
You don't know the challenge you presented for yourself. Yeah. Dude, we have some bad episodes.
Yeah, it's all right. If you want to dig reverse Everest, then go for it.
Summited reverse Everest.
Well, I appreciate that prediction. One of the reasons I was excited to bring you on was your controversial nature. Mm. You seem to be a type of person that doesn't shy away from controversy.
Here's how I'm going to help you guys out. I'm going to say a lot of stuff that your audience won't vibe with, and you guys can be like, no, we don't like that. And then they'll think that you're like cool, you know. You'll be like, hey, you really took that Bennington guy down.
That's classic wrestling. We got a heel and we just gotta take
him
down.
I'm gonna play heel.
So you are I've spent a lot of time with you, but you're still an enigma to me in many ways. My first question.
What's up?
Is Bennington is your real first name?
No, this is a Bennington is not my first name originally. My brother's middle name is Benjamin, and my mom always wanted someone named Benjamin. So my father was going to name me Casey. Now, his parents did not like that name because that is a girl's name, they thought. So 3 days before I was born, they bought a dog and named it Casey.
So that, genius. I mean, what good, a power
good,
play.
Good solution.
So
honestly.
There's a lot of
what a power
there's
play.
A lot of myth around my name because
oh my God.
My middle name is Sullivan, and at the time of my birth, my parents, I don't know if I should be saying this, but they were feuding with the rest of my family on my mom's side. So they named me after Gigi Sullivan, the dark horse of our family. So my name was Benjamin Sullivan Grant. But my brother's name was Benjamin. So when I was like a kid, my dad used to teach at, he was an adjunct professor at Bennington College. And we were driving through Vermont and he was like, hey, like, we should have called you Bennington.
Wait. What age were you when he said that?
I was like 5 or 6. He's like, you want to be Bennington? I was like, yeah. Like,
you want to be Bennington? That's incredible.
But to understand the dynamics of my family, when we moved to Virginia, so it was like a nickname, like growing up. But when we moved to Virginia, my dad, who always went by Bill, he's like, hey, I'm going to tell people my name is Will.
Like, so your dad is into name changes. Yeah,
your family is fast and loose.
My dad
names.
Also.
Your dad wants to change his PlayStation Network ID name so badly and can't.
My dad also changed his birthday because it was.
That's you can't
it was
do this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was December 26th.
Is your dad like the guy from Catch Me If You Can?
I haven't seen him in years. No.
He robs banks?
He changed his birthday to June 26th so they could have like a picnic instead of it being like during the winter. So changing stuff is in our family now.
Oh, okay.
I was going to get it changed officially when I was in Virginia. And I just didn't get around to it. And then he came to L.A. and it's like $500 to get it changed. So I don't have $500.
Yeah. And who cares? It's like you don't have to pay anyone $500 for your name to just officially be Bennington in most capacities.
Everyone calls me. I've only known that to be your name. It didn't even occur to me to ask if that wasn't your name.
Yeah. My family calls me Bennington. I call myself Bennington when I'm giving myself pep talks in the mirror. So
Virginia, is that where you grew up?
I grew up in New Hampshire. Next to Vermont, where my namesake is. And I moved when I was 11, and then I moved out of Virginia when I was 22. So I kind of split my life between those two parts.
Mm-hmm. All right, which part of your life did you like better?
which part was the best?
I loved New England. I still do. And I really didn't want to move. We moved because our heating bill was too much. They were just like, we're just not paying for this anymore. And I guess they just wanted to change. And they pretty much like went to a map and they're like, how far south are you willing to go? And they settled on Virginia, just like randomly. I was like, what the hell? Like, it changed my whole life.
Yeah, a famously southern town.
Which part of Virginia?
I lived in the Shenandoah Valley next to the Blue Ridge Mountains in Stanton, which is next to Charlottesville, Virginia. And
a home of Nazis.
No, that's a horrible.
They all flew in for Matlocks.
The Nazis would be in the rural towns around there, but Charlottesville is very liberal.
It's
one of the best cities in America.
Yeah, I believe that. A couple of my friends went to grad school there.
Oh yeah,
they're UVA for sure, nerds.
Yeah,
I was like, you started with, thought you were gonna say they're fucking Nazis.
Yeah, you know, I pulled out of that one.
It is. I remember going down there and coming back to New England and my cousins being like, do they really say y'all there? And I was like, oh my God, it's so much worse.
Cause that's like deep Virginia. That's not like Fairfax, like Arlington or something. That's like,
right. Exactly. There's North Virginia, which is pretty much just DC, but where like I went to school in Richmond and they have, Monument Avenue, which is just a monument of Confederate statues. Which, you know, like 2 years ago, there was a lot of stories about like, hey, should we get rid of these? Like, should we not?
We all forgot about it.
Yeah. I've only been to Richmond occasionally and I've only ever gone to this like one arcade venue, but it's pretty cool.
Oh, Strange Matter?
Yeah, Strange Matter. That place is dope. Yeah,
that place is dope. Richmond, very, very cool city.
Yeah.
But what made you want to come out here to Los Angeles?
I went to film school and I was going to move to New York with my girlfriend who was an actress, and that kind of fell through at the last minute.
The relationship.
Yeah. It was like, I don't want to be in the same city as you anymore. And I remember just calling my friend. I used to listen to a lot of podcasts like Earwolf podcasts, and I knew all those people went to UCB. So I was like, I'm just going to go to L.A. and do UCB and, you know, do some improv and some sketch and kind of find my voice and then start making films from there. And it's weird, you know, when I moved out here, there was one other classmate that came out and we kind of thought that everyone from our class was eventually, everyone talked about, yeah, we're all going to go out to L.A. But then that show Turn that was on AMC came to Richmond and like all of our friends work on that show and they've never come out. So it's just the two of us stranded out here and we hate it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear there are some people who don't love LA.
LA is a great town to play video games in because you can be very stranded in LA. A lot of times it's like very isolated, and or it's like hard to get around at certain times. It's very easy to actually just stay inside all day and play games.
Yeah, and I live deep north where Griffin came out to my place one time. He remarked it was very quiet, but it is like, it's funny because it's like for me to hang out with my friends, it's as though I used to live in Stanton. I would like drive to Charlottesville like 45 minutes to hang out with people, then have to drive back. And I'm pretty antisocial because it's like I'm against drinking and driving. So it's like I just kind of want to go home. And so buying a PS4 has been a really great event in my life because it's like, cool, I'm doing something. Like,
now, did you not have a console before that, or were you consoleless for a while?
Right. So I had, we had Nintendo growing up, and then PlayStation, and then GameCube, and then I didn't have a console, and I didn't play video games for about 8 to 10 years. Well, they got like incredible.
Wait, so what is the gap? What's the reason for the gap?
I just, you know, I was at college. I didn't have. I'm sorry. We did get a Wii. We got a Wii like that Christmas that everyone wanted one.
that like kind of counts.
Yeah, I know. It's like it kind of counts.
Rabbi Jack and I played a lot of Wii tennis for like 3 months.
Exact. Wii tennis, Wii bowling. Like I remember we got a Wii the day after Christmas, which used to be my dad's birthday. He went and found one And we brought it back, and kids from our school found out. And these kids that like didn't like me before, they were over at my house and they were being nice to me because I had the Wii. And I was just so happy. Oh, and you know, we had Zelda for it. But, you know, I went to college. It's like I never had money to buy a console. The only game I played was Mass Effect 1 and 2. I played them on my laptop, and those were so awesome. that like the gap between like Wii and then like Mass Effect 2 was like huge. I was like, wow, these. I remember just when I knew I was about to finish it, I played it like 10 hours straight to the sunrise. It was a very big moment in my life.
Now, it's funny that you have this gap in video games, because does that make you not like some of the types of video games, or is there like, do you feel like you're confused by what's going on in the scene?
Well, there's so many now that I have to catch up on. I do get kind of like, I get bored pretty easily. So it's like, I would never play another Call of Duty game. Like, I'm kind of done with those forever. Like, I really want to play, I know you've been playing The Last of Us. Like, I want to catch up on those. Yeah. On those games, because mm-hmm. I never had like such a cinematic experience, and I come from like a storytelling background. But it was like I got this job blogging about video games, so I'm like, well, now I have to have them. And to be honest, like I wasn't too excited about anything at E3, but I was like, well, I still have like 6 years of games to go back and play.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's always nice.
That must be pretty cool to have that. Have that backlog.
And also there's like games that are like some of the biggest masterpieces of the generation that are now like $10.
Right, exactly.
Like $15.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can get your Mass Effect and your Last of Us or whatever for like a dollar. Like, it's all pretty bargain basement at this point, and all the new shit's sort of silly. All right, well, should we maybe introduce some history and get into what we came here to talk about, Griff?
Yeah, because speaking of masterpieces of a generation, there's a very exciting game that our guest brought on today. So we should get into a little bit of history about this game. In 2007, Blizzard Entertainment, responsible for game legends like World of Warcraft, Diablo, and StarCraft, began to work on a top-secret new project called Titan. Titan was planned to be the greatest massive multiplayer online shooter ever created, but in 2013, it was internally shuttered by the company for being a chaotic, unbalanced mess. But from the ashes, a phoenix was born. Blizzard director Jeff Kaplan took 40 employees from Titan and had only a few months to come up with a new game, a death sentence to most developers. Not to be deterred, Kaplan and his team reused assets and ideas from Titan, and in 2016 released a game that would change the world forever. Described as a hero shooter, Overwatch assigns players into two teams of six, with each player selecting from a roster of over 25 players known as heroes, each with a unique style of play, whose roles are divided into three general categories that fit their role. After establishing the narrative of an optimistic near-future Earth setting after a global crisis, the developers aim to create a diverse cast of heroes that span genders and ethnicities, with major characters like Tracer being openly gay, a major step in video games. It has inspired comics, cosplay, and is recognized as an esport, with Blizzard themselves helping to fund and produce their own professional esport, the Overwatch League. Is this the greatest goddamn game of all time? I'll let the boys decide with Blizzard's Overwatch.
Not. There are spoilers.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, in part of this being the worst episode, I was listening to your Final Fantasy episode. I'm like, wow, this guy knows a lot about, like, all three of these people know a lot about Final Fantasy 9. I don't know too much about Overwatch. I'll go ahead and say that. Me and Griffin play it, like, every night.
This episode's off to a good start, because I also don't know too much about Overwatch. So,
well, I tricked you, because I have not played Final Fantasy 9.
Yeah, but the thing is, Michael and I have played it a million times, whereas I've only mostly played Overwatch with Griffin.
So, here's what I'll say about my intro to the game, because, like I said, I kind of tricked my way into getting this. Like, I convinced this guy that I knew a lot about video games to get this job that was essentially about esports, but I just know a lot about sports. Like, I watch sports all the time. So I convinced him I could, the way that we look at LeBron James, I could make them look at Siegel, who's on the Houston Fuel Overwatch team. Like, I could glorify him in that way. So I got this job. I buy my PS4, and I'm like, I'm going to get Overwatch. Like, I just heard about it. I just knew it was like a good multiplayer shooter, like fun. I didn't know anything about it at all. I go home, I set up the PS4, I download stuff for like 6 hours. I turn on the game and then the intro comes on. And this is my first take of the day. The intro fucking sucks. It's so fucking bad. It makes no sense. It starts with a gorilla like chewing in my ear. I hate it. Every time it comes
you
on.
You told me you don't like chewing.
I've talked about this.
And when we play online, if people are chewing, you don't like that.
See, when I was growing up, my parents together made like $20,000. And we just never had extra food or snacks. And so I have never had snacks in my life. I've never been a snacker. So when people are eating snacks,
it's a bourgeois thing.
Yeah, no, well, it's not. It makes me so angry. No, it's just like it's just an unnatural part of me that everyone wants snacks like all the time. And it's like when I'm playing the game, I want to just play the game. I don't want to eat snacks and play the game. I just want to play the game. Mm-hmm. And you've got these heavy duty headsets, people chewing in your ear. It's hell for me. It's absolute hell. And for the game to start with the guy
chewing.
Oh, is this thing on? I'm like, this fucking, I hate this. And
you
then
you have to watch it every time, which is a little much.
And I it's liked not it because it was like, this is a game with a big monkey. And I was like, sold.
Like, I don't even dislike Winston as a character, but the intro's not funny. It needs a punch up. It's like, you guys were talking on another one about games that are trying to be funny. This intro is trying to be funny. It's not funny, and it's painful to me.
No, it definitely is that. It's not. The game has like a sense of humor, but it's not a very good one, and it's not very.
It's not very filled in, is what I'd say. And like out, their story's really hit and miss.
It somehow comes up more in like the emotes than in like the cutscenes.
And there's all these, like, I went and watched this video of 30 minutes that was like all the lore behind it, and I watched all these stories like how Tracer knows Winston, and it's like, but then none of this has to do with the gameplay at all.
Actually, I don't care about that. I care that they aren't like putting out the story in the game, that they're like putting it out like outside of the game.
See,
like for people who haven't played the game, there are a lot of stories about the characters, about all the different players you can play as, but they're kind of vignettes that focus on like one character, sometimes like a hero character, sometimes like a villain character. But they're all kind of vignette stories, and there's no clear narrative main like A story arc to anything.
Well, here's my take on that real quick. I think that's good. Like, I think it's good that the videos aren't in the game. I think it's good that they don't matter that much. Because, like, it's not a game where that shit matters. Like, there's no... It's just a game where you dress up, you get superpowers in a costume, and you shoot your friends. Like, it's not a game that needs a story. And so the story being fully optional is, like, totally fine for me.
I'm into that, but I would rather, like, it doesn't explain why we're fighting in the game. I wish it was just, like, a Mortal Kombat thing where it's, like, yeah, this is a shooting tournament, like, to kill everyone. And you could fill in the stories of where every character came from and how they came to be in this 5 or 6v6 fighting situation. But it's like they have this whole other world, and it's like, but none of that matters when you're playing the game.
Yeah, well, I think it's just like there are fans who are going to love that shit and get into it. And there are people like me who are just like, I'm just going to play this game to shoot shit with my friends.
And I think going back to like the history, like it I think it kind of feels like that because there used to be an A story. This used to be a game. It used to be a thing game called Titan. And they just took the flavors and the flashes of that to this game. So it's kind of like, is there a story? Isn't there? It's this like weird level of story. I personally like, I would like there to be more like, I mean, in World of Warcraft, there would be cinematics that would be cool and would push story forwards. And I mean, like,
yeah, but you know, I feel like forward character momentum was like a built in part of how World of Warcraft worked and is just not a component in like what Overwatch is. And I think that it's like,
yeah,
that's something that like, there's a lot about Overwatch that doesn't appeal to me directly because it's not the kind of game I play. But what I like about it is that it's very much like, this is the kind of game this is, and everything about this game is to that point. And it like knows what it is and what it's doing.
And Blizzard does a really good job. I mean, all the characters are good and their personalities come through in their fighting styles. So it's like everything they've done is good, but I wish it was just more connected. But I don't really care. I'm more just about the gameplay.
Yeah, I just like shooting shit with my friends.
That's the thing is, this is a game that is very welcoming to people to play of all sorts of skill levels. Like, it's really the only kind of shooter game where I've just like handed it to someone who doesn't really play video games a lot, and they've been able to have a little bit of fun. It's like a kind of available to like all different types of play styles and skill. And I think that's what's cool about it. Whereas like, if you just like hand your friend like Call of Duty, they're just going to like get shot in 2 seconds and it's not gonna be fun for them. So they really did strike like a good balance with the game.
Yeah. I've been going in between playing Fortnite and Overwatch, and it will be like, I'll just play Fortnite until I just can't stand that I never ever kill anyone and then I'll go into Fortnite and be like, hey, like I'm it kind of evens it out.
Yeah, I go into Overwatch.
And I guess they do a good job with skill ranking and everything.
Yeah, they do a good job of that. Side note, Fortnite-wise, I killed a guy and won a game of Fortnite last night. I'm very proud of myself.
You won? Shut
up. Yeah, me and...
Victory Royale?
Me and Jordan and...
Shrimp?
Not Shrimp. Jordan's friend Jake. Three-man team. Won a game of Fortnite. What heroes?
That's pretty cool. And
that's actually kind of dope.
And also very telling of how like little gratification you get from that game.
I'm suddenly very horny again.
I have that. My game stories are a constant source of arousal for nerds and non-nerds alike.
But Fortnite is not satisfying. Fortnite is a game of like constant defeat and like rare victory. And I think Overwatch, you can feel like you're contributing in all sorts of ways, whether it's like healing or being a tank or doing damage.
That's for sure. Like, I get incredibly discouraged playing Fortnite because I'm bad at it by almost any metric. But I'm also not that good at Overwatch, but I can like play Lucio and like run around just heal my friends or like build a bunch of turrets as Torbjorn or something and feel like I'm helping and like make a difference in a meaningful way.
What's everyone's favorite character? What the character they like to play the most? Lex, did you play Roadhog the most?
I play Lucio the most, probably.
Lucio the most, okay.
I do not like... I guess I like Zenyatta, but... So I'll just say Zenyatta. I mean, my favorite character is Widowmaker. What are we talking about?
No.
I love Widowmaker, and Griffin gets so mad when I pick her. But I have this fantasy that I'll get so good that I'll be a contributing Widowmaker, but it'll probably never happen.
And I'm like the dickhead that like takes it too seriously. It's like, oh my god, we're gonna lose because you picked Widowmaker.
This comp sucks.
Like, yeah, I'm like, which is like, what am I trying to do? I'm not even that high ranked. It doesn't matter.
Griffin, what's your favorite character, Griffin? That's what everyone really wants to know.
Guys, my favorite character is Mercy. She's an angel medic healer. She's probably like middle-aged, right?
No, she looks like she's straight out of med school.
Okay, yeah. She does look like she's
like
an extra in Grey's Anatomy.
She's like a 31-year-old.
Yeah, she's like a resident at a hospital.
She's like the 31-year-old that the other 31-year-olds are like, fuck you, like, you look like you're 26.
But I like playing her because she's fun.
She's
to
a
play.
Winner. I struggle to find a main. I don't understand people. And it's like I said, I'm restless. I get bored easily. So I just go wherever the wind takes me with character choices in that game.
Which is Overwatch is amazing for that because it does have, what now, like 25 like pretty distinct characters.
27 currently, soon to be 28
with a
hamster ball,
wrecking ball, which just Blizzard, I know you're listening, just change the name to Hammond. We're all calling it Hammond Online.
Yeah, we're not calling it wrecking
ball.
No
one's calling it wrecking ball.
Lux, have you heard about this?
Nope.
Do you hear about this?
New character is a hamster.
Okay. I'm in.
The new character is a space hamster that Double escaped in. His prison on the moon and fought robots on Earth under a mysterious disguise, and no one knew he was a hamster, and then revealed himself to
be
a hamster.
That's what happened with me and my girlfriend.
Now everyone's like, well, this guy's a hamster, and he's also 14 years old.
That is the most anime shit I've ever heard, and I fucking love it. That is so... Yeah. Good.
And the developers are like, he doesn't talk because that would be ridiculous. He's just like a Spider-Man.
Let's be rational here.
I didn't know he's 14. You think he's jerking off in that ball?
Yeah. Another weird addition. Yeah. It's like, why does he have to be 14? He's like, got so many other details. Like, did they
does
not
he
have enough
age
things?
Quicker as a hamster?
Who knows?
What are hamster years?
Is it 14 in the human years or hamster years? That's the real question.
Yeah, but I like that they, their game, it's rare. They make a bunch of money, don't get me wrong. And a bunch of people pay for those microtransactions to get skins, but there's no pay to win. There's no pay to get ahead. And they're constantly putting out free content, they're constantly adding new maps that are like cooler than the old ones, constantly adding new characters and balancing and reworking characters. I think it's the most balanced online shooter, or at least the one that they've is clear the developers are really in tune with how the game is being played.
It's really incredible how even they make it, because it's like
it could be so messy, and that's why Titan got canceled, is because they said in Titan they had similar things where there were skill trees, but then like everyone's skills were overpowered and it was super unbalanced and chaotic, so it wasn't fun. But this is like the perfect balance.
It's like when sometimes one thing that a character will do will like stick out of like, yo, this is OP. And it's like, wow, like there's 28 people with four different abilities, and this is like the one out of 100 that like they need to tweak a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
They got their mathematicians doing this shit.
Yeah. No, it's been pretty incredibly impressive. They stayed tuned with like the meta game and like adjusted accordingly, because so many games are so slow about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only game that's as good at that is fucking Hearthstone, which is another Blizzard game. Like, Blizzard's just fucking A1 on that shit.
Yeah, and they'll take big risks too. They'll completely rework a character from the ground up, like what they just did with Symmetra, and they've done with other characters as well.
They did that with Mercy, right?
Yeah.
To what Griffin said with Hearthstone, I play Hearthstone too, and it you know, it's like whole... what they do is so cool, but whole expansions will leave, and then you got to spend like $50 to get some of the new cards.
Yeah, it feels like pay to win in Hearthstone.
But Blizzard is, I mean, this game is like you level up and you get loot boxes at a very quick rate, where it's like I have so many skins and like emotes and like aesthetic stuff.
Oh yeah, I've never spent money, and I've been able to buy a bunch of stuff. It's the only game that's like constantly allowed me to still buy stuff, even though there's a microtransaction option. So I think that stuff's all pretty cool. Is there any other major things we wanted to talk about with this game?
Yeah, let's talk about the gameplay. I mean,
oh yeah, we have,
like,
yeah.
The thing that's funny about Overwatch is like, and me like getting back into gaming, is like it brings out the best in the gaming community and like the fucking worst. Like you at any point, at any match, you can either have someone who's like so annoying or someone who's like so fun that you can like group up with them. And I'll group up with people and play with them for like 4 hours and then play with them later. And they're just like my online friends. Like this is like a whole new world to me. To have people to talk to. No,
it's true, because it's a game that's not all about who has the highest kills on the kill sheet or whatever. It's about teamwork. It's a game that's like you don't win if you don't work as a team, and maybe that encourages just better behavior online. I know Overwatch has had its toxicity problems,
yeah,
but it just released that cool new thing that I don't know if it'll fix it, but it's this endorsements thing where you can vote for like best teammate or shot caller or
shot caller.
I forget what the other one is.
Good sportsman. Good sportsmanship. Yeah, good sportsmanship. Teammate. The problem with the game is that like a good composition is 1/3 support, 1/3 tank, and 1/3 damage. And like 4/5 of people want to play damage.
Yeah, that's true.
So I will, you know, because since I like playing all the characters, I will hold back and be like, I'll just fill whatever role. I never ever fill a damage role, which are kind of the fun ones to play.
I disagree with that. I think a lot of the damage ones are like super squishy, and
they do get squishy.
They're like 200 health, and like, I don't know. Like, I personally have always liked playing a tank because I get to stay around for longer.
Yeah, I like being a tank or a support boy for sure. That's more my speed. Also, I'm
but
bad
you are at- right. Like, when you are queuing in a group, like, and if you wait, you're not going to be picking a DPS. Like, someone else is going to pick it.
Or sometimes, and then the other thing that will happen is I go, you know what? I've been support like five games in a row. I'm going to take DPS. So it starts up, I take DPS, and then just everyone else takes DPS. And then it's like that waiting game while the thing ticks where it's like, okay, like I'll be.
Yeah, like who's going to be the one to act like a goddamn adult and play fucking Torbjorn? Let's do this.
The gameplay is super good. I've put in many hours into it. It's you can just turn it on and instantly start playing, and
it's also just like, it's good. We were talking about this before, like we didn't get it specifically. Like, it's good for like new people, particularly because like it's really hard for one person to ruin it.
Yeah, and there's only like two or three buttons per character. Like some characters only have like two or three moves.
Yeah, and if
it's just that like you can't botch the job as one person, which like makes there you have so much less pressure, which is like the scary part of those games. Like even Fortnite is intimidating, so it's like, oh, if I get killed, a quarter of my team is dead forever.
Right.
But if like I'm bad at aiming with Pharah, like, well, that sucks. But you can still for other people who can kill some shit.
It's like you can't botch it, but if you have a good game, you can like carry, like you can win it for your team, and that feels really good. Like one person can make a difference on a winning side, but not on the losing side.
And they have this amazing play the game feature at the end that's always sought after. That's like a little contentious at times. Some people feel like it's broken, but like when you get play the game and it like shows a highlight reel of like the moment you did, it feels great. Great. Like when your little intro comes up.
I'm glad they talk all the time about trying to make play of the game include like more like heals and like assist stuff and less just like triple kill.
For instance, like as Mercy, I would make huge plays but never get play the game back in the day. But then since they switched her to like being able to like have a different type of ultimate where she can fly around and shoot people, I can get play the game when I do that. So I don't know. They're trying to get that better.
I was playing with this kid one time. He was like 16. He was so annoying. And he was like, oh, I was like playing with this girl I had met. And I felt I don't want to judge, but I felt like he was trying to impress the girl because he kept being like, yeah, I'm like a pro player on Destiny. It's just like I'm just playing Overwatch now, but I'm like ranked like top 100 in Destiny. And it's like, I doubt it. Like we're in fucking bronze. Like, I don't think you're a pro player. And he's like, he would like call out, you know, like all his kills. And he's like, that's play the game. And at one point I said something to the effect of like, yeah, kills don't matter so much in Overwatch. And he's like, yeah, I'm just coming from Destiny where it's like all about kills. And it's like, okay, Jesus. Well, you're not playing Destiny right now. And so play of the game comes up and it was like Mercy. And it was just like Mercy going around healing. And he was like, What the fuck, dude? Like, I had like triple kills like all over the place. I'm like, yeah, it's more of a team game. And he's like, that's not how Destiny is. I'm like, dude, shut up about Destiny.
Yeah, I do. There's that weird thing of like people like learn how to play one game and think that that game's every game. And Overwatch is a fun one because it's so different than other games of its type. Like, it's so much more team-oriented and so much better balanced that, like, things like that will happen all the time.
It's fun to play with friends.
Yeah, I mean, like, Lux, do you have an online experience that you think is better than Overwatch?
I mean,
Pennington, you can chime in, too.
Let me think. I mean, there's definitely some of the, like, older,
like playing with strangers online.
Yeah. Like, some of the older, like, sports games online were pretty fun. I never did a ton of online gaming, though, until relatively recently, so not really.
I really don't think there's a game out now, because there are, like, some matches I feel like talking, and when I do, people are responsive, and when I don't feel like talking, you don't have to talk, and the game still feels kind of the same. I'll say the most fun I've ever had playing a video game is me and my friends used to, like, get four TVs together and play Halo 2.
Oh, wow.
And
that's incredible.
Everyone being in the same room.
Yeah.
It was so fucking hype. I told my brother yesterday, like, motivation for me to get out there, start dating again, is like my bachelor party is gonna be like six TVs Halo 2 party, because
you're saying you can't have a LAN party until you get married?
No, I mean, like, this is, I want to play with my friends, and you know, who knows where they'll be across, and trick them into kind of like flying into where I am to be like, hey, like, we're gonna play Halo 2. We used to play this mode where it's one, we called it Predator, and one person was super quick and invisible,
Oh, awesome.
And they had a sword.
Nice.
And then everyone else. So it's like 10 people in a room and we're all like listening for the footsteps. And then you just hear like, and so we go, ah! And like, we're all like, ah, it was fucking so awesome. Yeah. And I miss like multiplayer in the same room so much.
Couch co-op. We talk about this on this podcast all the time. That split screen couch co-op.
October 5th, baby, Mario Party. Come over for October 5th, Mario Party.
That split screen couch co-op type games are just like a better multiplayer experience. And that's why, part of why the Switch is so good. The Switch has so many good games for that.
Yeah.
Starting to.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, as good as Overwatch is, I don't think anything will ever be as good as, like, kind of LAN parties. But Overwatch does a really good job of, like, being like a social experience.
Definitely. I mean, we've been nerding out of my house and my roommate has a TV in his room with Overwatch. So we have been playing Overwatch in the same house, chatting at each other from room to room. And even that amount has made it super fun. It makes me just want to like put like three more TVs in here and never leave.
All right. Well, this is a great time for you to go buy three more TVs because we're about to take a quick break and then we'll be back with the Game Boys podcast. So hold on 1 second after this commercial. Hey, Griffin, have you ever taken a history class before?
Yeah.
Dude, how was it for you? It was pretty tough, right?
It just was boring. Like, I just didn't care.
But what if I told you that we had a new product that could help you make history fun?
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's not, doesn't jump off the page right away, but let me tell you, it's worth it with these fill-in-the-blank history books. That many times, you can go through the history of the world, and they leave special parts blank, kind of like a Mad Lib, for you to fill in with whatever you want. So you might say something like, hey, what's this state on the West Coast? It's called Star Town.
This changes my entire perspective.
Right? Totally. It'll make it so much fun. For instance, if someone could say, hey, Griffin, what war was fought in 1812? And you could say,
the Pineapple Express.
Exactly. And it's not wrong. You're just filling in the blanks. You're just filling your book and choosing your own adventure. And that's why you're going to want one of these fill-in-the-blank history books as soon as you can get your hands on them. Welcome back to the Game Boys podcast. I'm still Lux, your host. Your co-host is still Griffin Davis, and your guest is still our good friend Bennington. And now we have talked about Overwatch, and it's time for us to rate this game, boys. So here's how that works. We're going to go in a circle, rating this game on a scale from 1 to 5 joysticks and giving a little overview of our thoughts about it. And Bennington, since you are our guest and we're very polite, you get to go first.
Thank you. Finally, someone showing me some respect in this goddamn town.
He's showing you respect from a very different town.
Yeah, but he's so, in the goddamn town.
Like I said, I had a huge gap in video games, so I'm blown away by everything I play now. And I haven't even played too many PS4 games. I think, like I said, Blizzard has done an incredible job with all the characters. And when I paid full price for this game, and I want to get my money's worth. And I don't see myself getting tired of playing it because there's just so many different characters and play styles to play. That being said, it's got like 3 game modes and a couple maps. The online experience is great. Overall, I mean, how do we go with decimal points here?
Whatever your heart decides.
I would go with
you can do 3 joysticks and a Wii con. You can do
anything you want. Just know that Griffin will almost certainly tell you it's wrong immediately after you choose it.
My greatest video game experiences tend to deal with gameplay interweaving with story. Like Fire Emblem is my favorite game of all time.
Sure.
So because it lacks that kind of like emotional connection to the game, I'm going to go with 4 joysticks.
That's great.
Whoa.
That makes complete sense.
Okay.
I guess I'll go next. I think that I've played over 200 hours of this game. And by think, I mean, I know, cause I looked it up before the podcast and that's they tracked that crazy. Unfortunately,
those creeps
and, those creeps, those perverts. So I obviously love the game. It definitely kind of like transfixed me. Like there's sometimes when you start playing a game and it just kind of like it's like, it's everything about it. It's like your jam. It's the kind of thing that you want to play. I really love all the characters, all the balance, all the care they put in the community and making the community get new content. That's free content. But I agree, that it does fall short on like story. And I constantly am like wishing for more and getting less and then every so often, like they put out a cutscene cinematic that's like a cool one, and then there's like two really bad ones. I too, unfortunately, although it is probably in my top five games of all time, surely because it just is the most fun to play online shooter experience I've ever had, I'm going to have to give 4 out of 5 joysticks. Just like Bennington.
All right. Yeah. So here's my thing.
I want it to be a 5 out of 5, but I can't lie. I can't be false.
The Game Boys will always be true. And here's my truth. So my thing with video games and story is that the story is similar to what Bennington was saying. Sort of the story needs to drive me forward or else I'll just get bored of the fucking game. And Overwatch just literally doesn't have a story. So it's fun. And it's the kind of game that I'll play for 2 hours with Griffin a couple days every so often. Or something, but I'm never going to like turn back to it because it doesn't like fill that like itch of being in a story that video games need to do for me to play them over and over again. So I'll also give it 4 stars because I think it does everything, or 4 joysticks rather. So I think it does everything.
Holy shit.
I'll give it 4 stars and I'll also give it 4 joysticks for 8 total points.
Wow, unanimous.
Oh my God.
Because like it does everything it wants to do and I feel like I can't discredit it that, but it's like, and even I think some of the ways it does things I don't like not having a story, it does the best version of not having a story where there's an optional one. I'd prefer an optional story to a bad story.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But like, it still just doesn't do it for me. So it accomplishes everything it wants to do, but not the way I want it to. So 4 out of 5.
Not to get that 5 out of 5, baby. Sorry.
So that's too bad for Overwatch. It was a really good effort from that game. But now it's time to cheer everyone up with everybody's favorite segment made entirely out of segments. That's right, everybody. It's time for the segment. Griffin, you got a segment and start it off.
All right. Now we're back to everyone's favorite new-ish segment. It's What's That Sound?
We're bringing it back.
We're bringing it back. So I'm going to play a sound for our guest. You get to hear it 3 times. And I'm actually going to give you kind of a big theme for what this sound might be.
Ooh, a big theme.
The big theme is console.
That's okay. A fucking crazy theme.
The theme is console. And you can phone a Lux for help for a guest. And you have 3 guests. So I'm going to play the sound right now. Coming to you live and direct.
GameCube.
Damn it!
Yeah.
Shit!
Dunked.
It was like I barely started it.
Like an instantly. So wow, I could see
that was
it.
So fast. Is that some wow?
As soon as you said it, I could see it happening.
I knew. I mean, it's probably the most iconic. Fucking luck, dude. I fucked to this.
Put that on loop.
Yeah, no, I don't need it to loop. Trust me.
I go to sleep to that. That is my ASMR.
A great startup logo
for a great system. One of the best.
What's your favorite start? I mean, I had PlayStation, GameCube, Nintendo.
So PlayStation 2 was actually my first console I ever owned. And so just that kind of opening, those opening sounds kind of were like the first time that I was like, oh, I'm experiencing.
Start with PlayStation. I want to hear the PlayStation one again. Sorry to hijack this.
Sorry. No, we're definitely doing mine first. Wow. Wow.
Too ambient.
No, it's so ambient.
That's a real warehouse trance type shit.
More, yeah. Like the new one is just like pretty much like a spa now. A spa. The PS4. PlayStation original one. That one has a very cool kind of metal sounding.
Oh yeah.
I mean like metallic, not like the.
Yeah. Duh, duh, duh. Not like triplets.
Oh, that shit's dope.
Whoa. Man, the bass on that's very Tron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was very sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
On color. Frank Ocean sampled that for good reason.
They don't make them like they used to, guys. Anyways, well, that was What Was That Sound, and on to Lux's segment.
That segment just got dunked so hard.
We made a meal out of
everybody's favorite segment, where we talk about things that we prefer and more and things that we prefer less. That's right. It's Play It, Slay It, Delay It. This week's theme was hard to come up with because there's not a lot of games like Overwatch, so I picked failed MMOs. Based it on Titan, you see. The way that this works, Bennington, is
EverQuest.
I will read you three game titles and the copy associated with those games.
Guild Wars 2.
You will choose which of those three you want to slay, as in throw in the trash, play as in play right away, and delay as in save for later.
That Final Fantasy game.
All right. Griffin is naming games that were too obvious for me to use. They were in my first, like, those are all the games I thought of. And then I was like, I gotta go deeper. And Griffin will yell at me because he knows these ones. And you know it.
Thank you.
You know it's true. It's happened on the pod. All right, ready? Here we go. First off, we got Motor City Online. Motor City Online is a racing, massively multiplayer online video game released by Electronic Arts on October 29th, my birthday, 2001. The point of the game was to buy classic cars.
We can't play this anymore.
The point of the game was to buy classic cars, mostly American muscle cars, ranging from 1930s to 1970s models, tune them up, and race them against other players. Next, Earth and Beyond. Welcome to Earth and Beyond, the first online role-playing galaxy. It's your turn to pilot your own starship, adventure in a massive galaxy, and take part in a thriving community. Alien encounters, fierce combat, cutthroat commerce, new discoveries, perilous quests, strategic alliances, diplomatic backstabbing, and epic wars await you and the friends you meet online. And lastly, Hellgate, London. A post-apocalyptic London has been overrun by hordes of terrifying demons, leaving the city desolate and scorched by hellfire. Those who were unlucky enough to survive now gather in the only sanctuary left, the underground. That's the subway in London. Banding together in order to gain a foothold against the minions of darkness and ultimately save the bloodline of humanity. So which are you going to play, which are you going to slay, and which are you going to delay?
What was the name of the last one?
Yeah, can we get the titles one more time?
Our titles, we had Motor City Online, Earth and Beyond, and Hellgate London.
Hellgate London sounds really, I mean, especially an MMO. I've never played one, but I know you play a lot of hours. The art aesthetic of just like underground subways and even just post-apocalyptic stuff seems very boring to me. So I would slay that one.
Bang.
I think with the Earth and Beyond, there's been a lot of massive MMOs that try and tackle like space. And they're just boring and they just can't get it done. I think we're like still a couple. No Man's Sky, another example. What's that one? Evo
or Eve Online. Whatever was the
Eve Online.
Yeah, that one looks, they just look so boring. I think we're a couple years away from finding a way to give those games the gravity, the feeling that you're like on the Starship Enterprise or whatever. So I'm going to delay that one. October 2001 was like such a fun time in America. So
that's when I turned 11 years old.
Very good, very good. So I will play that game. That game seems super cool.
Just so you can be transported back to that wonderful innocent time.
An exciting space, yeah, on the internet.
Can you buy any classic planes?
I mean, literally.
Edit point.
Only Bailey. Bush. Can buy classic planes because Bush did 9/11. Griffin,
I'll be honest with you, I would slay all of these games. Like, well, I know I'm not allowed to.
That's why I picked them.
They just like, none of them seem like, with an online game, it has to be something you really want to spend a lot of time with. And
that's,
I think,
why these are failed MMOs.
Yeah. So I think my answer is I think most of these I can't play even if I wanted to anymore. So I wish them all a slow and painful death.
All right, great, Griffin. Thanks for doing the segment.
I mean, okay. All right. So I guess I would play the Earthbound one. I would delay Hellgate, and I would never play the car one.
All right. I'm also gonna slay Motor City because cars are not for me. I'm actually going to play Hellgate, I think, because, like, almost for the exact same reason that Bennington's slaying it, that it just, like, seems so dumb and worthless, and I just want to, like, see how they even try to pull off this, like, because, like you said, you need a lot of space for an MMO, and London's, like, a pretty small size-wise city. It's, like, very dense, and if it's all destroyed, there's not that much stuff. It's like, what makes this game cool? I want to know. And then I'll delay Earth and Beyond because, yeah, I don't know. Outer space, it's cool, but like, I don't need it right now. But that's play it, delay it, delay it. And that's basically the show. Bennington, you've been a fucking wonderful guest.
Yeah. Now we have to rate the episode. Bennington, were you right? Were you right? Was this the worst episode yet?
I'm working my way through the Phil Bender episode, which, by the way, I can't believe he took XCOM. What a game.
Oh, you want to do XCOM?
I got XCOM right when I came to LA and I didn't know anyone. And I just would play that deep, deep into the night. And it's really like a spooky atmospheric game. So a lot of fun. Oh, and the thing I love about that game and Fire Emblem, when you die, you're fucking dead.
Yeah, dude, permadeath is the best.
I fucking love that. It makes it so, like, I would just stare at it for like 20 minutes, like, should I move here? And then when the guy dies, it's like, okay, should I start the 2-hour quest over? Mm-hmm.
There's
fuck
a great,
it, he's gone.
A great, like, not a great newer, new-ish tactical RPG with permadeath is this game called Massive Chalice. And a big part of Massive Chalice is also that as your characters get older, you have to retire them, and you can retire them and have them have kids who can become powerful.
Oh, sick.
But so then it's like, as people are leveling up, like, you can get someone pretty high level and you're like, should I just retire?
That is the most anime fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
and
it's like, Massive
well, no,
Chalice.
That's not true. We just talked about a 14-year-old hamster that rolls around and escaped from robots on the moon.
Holy shit.
The fuck
I'm
are you talking
so...
about the most anime thing you've ever heard?
Dude, I'm sorry. That Chalice is not the only thing that's massive right now. I'm straight... horny.
Oh, Bennington's horny again, so let's end on a high note.
Right. Bennington, you've been a fucking fantastic and very horny guest, the two most valued traits on this show. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you if they want to get more content from our good friend Bennington Grant?
Check out covergaming.com, we cover gaming, and check out my Twitter handle, bathroom1992.
Cool. Excellent. Good, man. How
damn,
about you?
That's so good.
Yeah, that's a
Twitter
really
game.
Good Twitter name.
Follow us at GameBoysPod or Shut Up Griffin on Twitter or come to the Pack Theater, see shows. Lux, your turn.
At ML Surfboard on the Twitter. You can also follow the Game Boys on Facebook. It's the season finale of Not Even a Show, dropped this Sunday, so check that out on YouTube. And Wisecrack stuff still happening, so check out Wisecrack. And that's all. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. My name is Lux. I'm your host. Your co-host is Griffin Davis. Your guest is Bennington Grant. Your editor is Haley Clement. Your art is by Brittany Metz. Your intro outro music is by Matthew Morden. Thank you very much, Internet. We love you.
Game Boys.
Overwatch.
Wait. Sorry. Chewing.
Is this thing on?
Oh,
nightmare shit. All right. Goodbye, Internet.